afternoon session. I'm Dr. Viansen from the Philippines, who will be co-chairing this afternoon session with Dr. Jeremiah Chikai from Kenya. And for the first speakers, we'd like to invite Bettina Durovny from Brazil, who will be giving us some aspects on the implementation of isoniazid preventive therapy for people living with HIV, overcoming the barriers perspective of HIV program.
First, I would like to thank the organization of this symposium to invite me to show our experience with IPT among HIV patients. So the experience I'm going to share with you today is based on the TRIO study, which is mainly the implementing of isoniazid preventive therapy for people living with HIV. And I'm going to be discussing some of the barriers and challenges from the HIV program perspective. I work in Rio de Janeiro City at the health department, and I am also from the Federal University of Rio de Janeiro. I would like to give you some background about the situation of TB and HIV in Brazil, and actually Rio is a good example of what happens in the country. Our TB incidence is 100 by 400,000 people. It's almost the double of the incidence of the country. Although this is the overall incidence for the city, we have some places, some communities more, where the incidence can be as high as 300 or 400 for to 1,100 people. Our HIV prevalence in the general population is slightly below 1%. And our mainly route of infection is sexual transmission. Rio is a big city. We have 6 million people living in the city. And although our TB incidence is not as high as in other countries, TB is the leading cause of morbidity and mortality among HIV patients in Rio de Janeiro. One important characteristic of our services is that antiretrovirals are free and have been distributed in the public sector since the mid-90s. And our services are free for all patients regardless of their socioeconomic status. HEART is currently recommended in Brazil for all patients with CD4 counts below 350. And in Rio de Janeiro, we have around 24,000 patients being followed in the public clinics. Brazil has in its guidelines the IPT as a recommended policy for HIV patients. But although this policy is recommended since the 90s, it is rarely used. So the study in which I will be basing our discussion today is actually evaluating the impact of widespread use of TB preventive therapy for patients with access to antiretroviral therapy in Rio de Janeiro. This is the Rio de Janeiro map. These blue dots represent all the clinics in which the study is being developed. The reason why you see more clinics in one side of the city is because this is where most of the people live in Rio de Janeiro. And the west zone is less populated. So this represents 29 public health units that are directly managed by the health department and is the setting of our experience in implementing IPT for people living with HIV. So this is the objective of the study. Our study is implemented in phases. We start two clinics every 2 months. We start the intervention, and we started in 2005. So now at the end of 2007, we are actually including the last two clinics into the intervention. I want to give you some numbers of our baseline. Our study is based on data collected from charts of patients that are seen in these clinics. And we have almost 11,000 patients eligible for the intervention, here being having a PPD, a TST. And those that are not eligible are those patients that had prior INH, prior TB, or both. So we have around 11,000 patients that are eligible. We, since September 2005, when we collect the first baseline data, we actually have more than 2,000 patients entering the system from September 2005 and the present day. And we have reviewed 36,000 charts so far. In terms of some demographics, we are in our clinics, almost 40% of the cases of HIV patients that are being followed are women. 35% do not use antiretroviral. They are being followed, but they don't fill the criteria to start antiretroviral yet. And we have the cutoff for the PPD is 5 millimeters among HIV patients, and we have around 23% of positivity retrospectively. But it is important to notice that here, patients that many patients here had PPD to the diagnostic purposes, but it was not only for the diagnostic of latent TB. So that's why you're going to see that the percentage of positivity is a little lower when we start to do it prospectively. When we compare the positivity for the PPD and the CD4 count, we see what we expect, a trend of positivity as high as the CD4 is. We have more positivity among the patients. So when we collect our baseline data, we already have we had the opportunity to analyze retrospectively what was the impact of the antiretroviral therapy in this population, because we had patients that were already taking antiretroviral, and some of them used isoniazid, and these results were recently published, and we have shown that the strategies were differentiated by antiretroviral only, IPT only, and both. As you can see in the incidence rate ratio, they all give some protection, but the higher protection was observed among those patients that had access to both antiretroviral and IPT. This is just to give you an idea of the path that the patient has to go through since he is identified in the clinic and becomes eligible for the TST, does the TST, and then is started on INH. And this is important because in each of these steps, we identify challenges and barriers. So this is some of the experiences I want to share with you today. So what we call intervention is actually a package of training, development of educational material. We are providing the doctors with tools to summarize their patients' experience through their HIV infection, because some of the patients have big charts, like they've been following for 12 years, 10 years, and sometimes it is difficult for the physician to actually summarize all the interventions that the patient had in the past. We are investing a lot of our time in policy and advocacy. We do weekly supervision and reports, and we are also keeping a weekly month with the trio staff, with the study team, and we do at least two meetings with the clinics that are already under intervention to discuss with them the results we have so far, and to also to listen to their problems and what we can do to overcome these barriers. So it's a pretty simple intervention, but it's very important to actually scale up the intake of IPT among the HIV patients, that is, it was very low on the baseline when we analyzed it at the first time. This is some of the materials we've developed. It's in Portuguese, of course, and I just want to try to translate it a little bit. The message we are trying to deliver here is that if you have HIV, you should test for TB, because TB can be prevented. And if you have TB, you should test for HIV, because AIDS has treatment. And it's, we try to do it as a win-win situation here for the patients. And this is a poster, a big poster, and we included here, this health unit is prepared to answer your questions and to help you. So ask for information, talk to your doctor. This is a very popular publication among HIV patients in Brazil. It's a magazine especially driven for people living with HIV, dealing with adherence problems, nutritional problems, discussing cases. And we worked with the editors of this magazine to launch this issue that is entirely dedicated to the TB prevention. And what it says here is that prevention in the right time. And it discusses all the things about prevention, in interaction with the antiretroviral drugs. And we this is dedicated for the patients. It's a tool that physicians, nurses, and other health professionals have to work with their patients. So talking a little bit more about our intervention, these are the numbers of people trained so far. We have been training people together for TB and HIV. This is one of our efforts to make the programs to work better together. PPD has been a challenge. We have PPD in our services for many years, but when we come back to train our, especially our auxiliary nurses, we find out that many of them didn't know how to do the PPD properly. So it's a very demanding training. We need a lot of volunteers, and we have been training so far 120 new people that were already working, but new people also, to improve the quality, but also the accessibility to the PPD. We also include specific counseling training, because we are actually promoting a package that includes the HIV testing for patients with TB, and the TB test, and the PPD for patients with HIV. So we are also investing on counseling. And we, as part of our advocacy and policy activities, we have been also training HIV activists to help us in delivering the message of the importance of implementing IPT and the use of IPT among the community of people living with HIV in Rio. So this is kind of our algorithm. You can see the funnel effect here. We were working with almost 8,000 patients, and we were able to place so far half of the PPDs we expected to place. But once we do the PPD, we have almost 90% of the patients coming back to read it. And once the PPD is positive, fairly 80% of patients are started on IPT. Here, what you can see is a little bit of the time effect on the intervention. We are actually doing some difference at the clinic level. This is the pre-post intervention comparison. In blue, you can see the pre-intervention. And we can see that the lines, they are pretty much separated after the intervention. But still, we see that there is a delay in the realization of the PPD. And this is one of our challenges. It seems like it takes a long time for the patient to be counseled and to come to the clinic and to have PPD placed. We are on the impression that along the time, maybe around 2 years, we are going to be able to cover all the patients that have indication to have PPD. In terms of the IPT, of course, here we are talking only about those patients that had a positive PPD. And again, you see that there is a sharper effect in the beginning, and then in the follow-up, it still takes a long time to start IPT. Here, the most important thing is that we have to rule out TB. We have to do the sputum smear, the X-ray, to be sure that there is no active TB. This is also important activity, because we are actually doing a active case finding of TB among our HIV patients. And only after we exclude TB, we start IPT. So we are, I'm going to discuss a little bit later on how this is sometimes a challenge and a barrier in terms of timing to start IPT. So now I'm going to start to discuss some of these challenges, and I'm going to base the issues here on two studies we did in the trio. This is one of the posters that we are going to be presenting on Saturday, and we compare the adherence of the HIV doctors to the guidelines. How much do they adhere to the guidelines when it comes to PCP prophylaxis and to HIV monitoring, like CD4 and viral load? And it turns out that when we compare this to how much they adhere to the TB part of the guidelines, it's very different. They are much more compliant with HIV monitoring and PCP prophylaxis than with TB screening and prophylaxis guidelines. So this is a very important indicator for us on where we have to put energy and effort with the HIV doctors. We also did a qualitative inquiry that included interviews with TB and HIV physicians, nurses, and also local administrators. In Rio, it's very important that the local administrator also understands and buys the idea of IPT, because there are issues like the agenda for X-ray, for PPD, the way you allocate your human resources. So the local administrators are a very important piece for us. So what they said, what these people that we interviewed said, they said that they think they're doing their best. But they acknowledge that they need more information about TB prevention. And the nurses said they would like to have more autonomy. In Rio, in Brazil, as a whole, much of the decision is in the doctor's hand. And the nurses sometimes feel like they could do more if they could have more autonomy in some decisions. They also asked us for more organization in terms of how to register TST and IPT and the IPT prescription. And they said, that TB and HIV teams should be working together, and we like this statement very much because we think this too. Okay. So what have we learned from this experience so far? The physicians, nurses, and local managers, they think that the patients are kind of afraid of the TST. The concept of doing a test to diagnose a latent infection is a little bit difficult to understand. Sometimes they think that the test will actually say that they have TB, and so it's very important to explain and to do the right consultation with these patients to make clear the concept of the latent infection clear. And also the patients, sometimes they think that TST takes two visits, you have to place the TST, you have to come back to read it, and some of them also say that this is a barrier. It was clear also that the doctor's lack of knowledge about TB prevention is an important reason for different performances. When we did the qualitative inquiry, we asked questions for nurses, doctors, and local administrators from different clinics that were doing better than others. So, and we could notice that very clearly that those clinics where the IPT intake was getting scaling up better than the others were those clinics where the doctors knew something about the TB protocol. They knew better about the prevention of TB among HIV patients. They also think that there is some kind of problems between because of the complexity of the HIV treatment and the HIV patient's style of life. And although we had very few, from more than 400 IPTs, we had only 15 cases of adverse reactions and only one hepatotoxicity that was mild, didn't have any major consequence. It's still the doctors are afraid of the adverse events of IPT. So this was very important for us, that we have to reinforce the message about the safety of the IPT. So after all, almost 2 years implementing this this strategy, we are actually revisiting our strategy and developing new communication strategies. The recent launched Stop TB statement is an important tool. I'm going to show it in a minute. We think that it's very important to bring prominent authorities to talk about TB, as we have for HIV. We have very important researchers, doctors that are respected by the other health professionals. They talk about HIV very often, and we want them to also talk about TB. We are also developing specific strategies to mobilize the local health administrators, involving them in more scientific and technical meetings to make them understand the importance of this strategy. New training models for health professionals, and also raising awareness about TB among HIV community. This has been a very good experience. We are actually training them, but we are also learning a lot from them on how to improve our strategies to implement IPT among HIV patients. And all these efforts in Brazil, they only make sense if they are really incorporated in our public health system. This is the only way that we can actually believe in some sustainability after this study or any other intervention. So all the things that we discuss and implement, we try to do it as much as possible in the context of our public services. So this is the Stop TB partnership statement. This is a very important tool for us at the local level, because then we can show that what we are actually advocating is aligned with international guidelines and best practices. So it's very important that this kind of tool is available now, because then we can actually show that TB is not only important for many different agencies, but that there is scientific evidence, not only what we are saying at the local level or even at the country level, but internationally. Just to finish, some of our operational strategies has been promoting integration between HIV and TB programs. As everybody in this room might know, it's not exactly easy, but we are progressing on this matter. And we are, as our nurses and doctors asked us to do, we are improving the tools for registering PPD and IPT. And we are starting a study to see what are the bottlenecks for the ruling out TB. If we can improve the timing to the X-ray, to the smear, what we can do to shorten this time and have IPT initiation right after the PPD. And thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. So please reserve your questions at a later time. We'll be calling on the second speaker for the same topic of INH preventive therapy. May we call now Dr. Owayitse I. Motsamia from Botswana, please.
Okay, good afternoon. I'm going to be talking about the experience of Botswana in the use of IPT countrywide. And this is the outline of my presentation. I'll start with the background rationale for IPT in Botswana, inception, implementation, outcomes, administration, TB, HIV integration, achievement and challenges, and planned interventions. Botswana is located in southern part of Africa, just north of South Africa, within the SADC area. It has a population of 1.7 million and has an area of about 581 square kilometers. It's a developing country. Rationale, there's high HIV prevalence in the country, and this is the reason why we are implementing IPT in the country. And the estimated TB HIV co-infection rate is 80%. And there has been an autopsy study that was conducted in 1999 in one of the referral hospitals in the northern part of the country, where 36% of HIV adults' deaths were found to be due to TB. And there were other studies that were carried in the area, like an inpatient study that was carried in another referral hospital, which showed the prevalence of about 84%. And the other one on the outpatient, which showed prevalence of 73%. And therefore, our prevalence rate was much, much higher because it was 80%. The co-infection rate. TB rates and HIV prevalence among pregnant women, in this was between 1975 and 2001. Our TB program was established in 1975, as you can see. And from 1975, our rates were very high, over 500 cases per 100,000. And as time went on with the BNTP strategies, we were able to control TB until we reached the lowest rate of 202 per 100,000 in about 1991. And from then, that's when we started seeing high jumps in the rates of TB in the country. And the highest rate that we have ever recorded was 623 per 100,000 population, and that was in 2003. And currently the rate is 603 per 100,000. And WHO policy statement on IPT, our implementation of IPT was also based on this statement in 1998, which recommended the use of IPT to people living with HIV in high prevalent countries. And this is what happened in Botswana. We started by forming a working group of IPT in 1999, and then followed by a pilot that was conducted in three districts in Botswana in 2001. And the purpose of this pilot was to find the feasibility of implementing IPT countrywide, given the situation, because in Botswana we don't have many doctors. Most of the health facilities are manned and headed by nurses, and therefore the purpose of this pilot was to find out if nurses could successfully screen patients or HIV positive persons for active TB and exclude it. So it was recommended, the findings of the pilot recommended that it is feasible to implement IPT countrywide, that nurses were able to successfully screen and implement IPT, and therefore it was started late 2001. The eligibility criteria included confirmed and documented HIV positive persons. They have to be 16 years and above, and this was based on the HIV testing policy that was there by that time, and also because we did not want to enroll children in IPT because we couldn't successfully exclude active TB in these children. And people should not be currently pregnant, because we are saying IPT is not an emergency, so people should come back after 6 weeks postpartum to come and be screened for eligibility into the program. They shouldn't have active TB and not terminally ill, because they won't benefit from the program, and they should not have hepatitis, as we know that the liver is a very important organ in metabolism of INH.
they should not have a history of TB within the past 3 years. 3 years, less they had, they might develop a relapse. And of course, no history of INH intolerance. So we have the screening algorithm that we are using, and these are the main focus of our screening algorithm. Proof of HIV positive status, we need to solicit that from our clients. We need to take thorough history and do physical examination from head to toe, exclude persons with cough and fever so that we can thoroughly investigate and be sure that they don't have signs and symptoms of TB before they could be enrolled in the program, and thorough counseling of clients is expected so that they understand why they have to be on IPT and why they should adhere and complete the treatment. And then we have to start them if we feel they are eligible. And then we expect them to come back on monthly basis for review, assessment, and drug supply. Our IPT runs for 6 months, and they take treatment on monthly basis, self-administered. This is a sample of the screening algorithm that we use. And these are the outcomes of our implementation. Actually, it has been very difficult to implement this program in the country. We started by training TOTs, trainers of trainers, in the whole country. We had an average of 5 TOTs in each district. And these TOTs are expected to go and continue training the rest of the health workers in their own districts. These are the outcomes so far since the inception of the program. We have screened over 71,000 clients, HIV-positive people, and have started 67,413. And among these, only 27 were found to have completed treatment, and 10% were still under treatment. Non-completers were 63%. And within those who have not completed, there is those whom we know where they ended, where we have reasons why they did not complete is 24%. Those without reasons were 76%. And this means that we know the outcomes of about 51% of our clients who are enrolled in the program. So the question is, where is the 49%? So this is a bit of the same, or the summary of the same thing, where we are looking at the progress of implementation. Since the inception of the program, we started with the pilot in 2001, and then in late 2001, that's where we signed, the Minister of Health, Botswana, and CDC signed their first cooperative agreement on the implementation of IPT. Unfortunately, the IPT office was not established by then until late 2003, where we had 3 officers coming into the office. And from there, we can see a big rise in the uptake of the program, showing that indeed the office is established, and then it was rolled out to the rest of the districts by June 2004. And currently, the initiative is available in all health facilities, including health posts in the country, and it is implemented by nurses and doctors who have to undergo training before they could implement it. And then in 2005, that's when we managed to develop a database, a national IPT database, and it was rolled out late in November 2005. And our routine HIV testing strategy was also incepted in 2002, a result which assisted in the further uptake of the program. These are some of the reasons which were recorded why some of the people did not complete treatment. Most of them did not complete, were found to have been lost to follow-up, and this was found when they were actually visited in their homes, at their homes, and were found not to be available or moved, changed accommodation and things like that. And then 19% of them had other reasons like pregnancy and others. And we see active TB among 2% of those who did not complete administration. The funding of the program comes mainly from CDC, and the government, right now we are in the second cooperative agreement. The second one started in 2005 and runs up to 2010. Ministry of Health provides infrastructure, drugs and technical support, while CDC provides money for salaries, training, purchase of equipment, and so far CDC has used more than 3 million in the program. IPT staffing, we at the national office or national level, we have the national coordinator, regional coordinators, one for the north, the other for the south, data officers, and a data manager. We still are waiting for an IC officer. But the implementation is taking place in all facilities, like I said, in hospitals, clinics, mobile stops, and the like. Support and supervision. District health facilities are being supervised by TB coordinators from DHTs. And fortunately, we do have some designated TB coordinators. Now I think it's about a year since we had some of them. District TB coordinators are supervised by us at the national level, including the TB team management, district team management. The national level, at the same time, when we do supervise services, we do sample some facilities. DHTs are then given feedbacks on their performance, their level of performance. District TB coordinators normally are invited for workshops where they meet and discuss about their district performance. And then there are trainings, they are trained on IPT, TB, HIV surveillance, and TB case management. These were the targets as set for 2006. We had intended to train 96 TOTs, but we ended up training 151. And this is because there's a tendency that there's high mobility of health workers. Some of them, when they are transferred to other districts, they don't continue as TOTs. Some of them go out for greener pastures. Healthcare workers trained so far is about more than 60%. And the enrollment by then was less than what was expected, but now it's much, much higher. The caliber that is trained for IPT, we do have doctors, nurses, pharmacy technicians, health educators, and social workers. We also have family welfare educators, and this cadre is expected to do follow-ups of clients who are lost to follow-up, lay counselors, and health auxiliary. These are the records that we use for IPT. We have the outpatient records. We have register and compliance records, IPT dispensary tally sheet. This one is based at a dispensary. Patient transfer format, monthly report format, and the electronic IPT register. We also have training guides where we have the facilitator guide and the health worker guide. The IC materials that are produced are many. Some are brochures, video cassette, posters, and many others. And the database was developed and funded, developed with the assistance of CDC, and it has been rolled out to all the districts. We do have computers at all districts. And currently, we are busy updating the client's records, because what we have realized is that some of the clients, there is a good number of clients who have been on IPT, who have actually completed but have not recorded as completed. Integration of TB and HIV care. Implementation of routine HIV testing was done, incepted from January 2004. HIV testing of TB patients is routine, but so far it's at 68%. IPT is prescribed in all health facilities by doctors and nurses, and IPT is usually given as a package of HIV care. And these are some of the sources of referral to IPT: prevention of mother-to-child transmission of HIV, VCTs, non-governmental organizations, and IDCC or ARV programs. IPT provides a systematic way to screen people living with HIV for TB and for other, like maybe the heart. And we do have TB HIV advisory body, which has been established a year back. TB and HIV care issues are also included in the new TB treatment manual. Achievement and challenges. We have been able to train an average of 5 TOTs per district and more than 65% of health workers countrywide. IPT program officers are there at the national level, though we still feel that they are inadequate for the national level. IPT is available in all health facilities, and the public awareness and uptake of the program have increased. We have improved paper-based reporting from the districts, and computers have been purchased for all districts. Database is available in all districts, and we do have designated TB coordinators in almost all districts. Initially, we had people like community health nurses and other health cadres who were tasked with the responsibility of taking care of the TB program. But we found that most times they put just maybe less than 10% of their effort on TB control activities. And that is why we decided to come up with designated TB coordinators. And also this has helped us because we have actually improved on our records. We have enabled linkage of IPT to TB and ARV databases through the use of national identity. We have also improved frequency and quality of support visits. Challenges that we encounter: overstretched national staff. At the national level, the IPT program belongs to the TB program, and the TB program has been short-staffed for many years now. And when we came into the program, we were looking at all national TB control strategies, and on that endeavor, we ended up losing track of our core business, which was IPT. And we have realized there's inadequate counseling of some clients, because sometimes you come across clients who was put on treatment and did not even know that she had to continue coming to the health facility. And it shows the lack of information given by a health worker. Lots of clients who are still on treatment. There's no, the clients follow-up is very limited. And this is what we are trying to push, that all the clients that have been on IPT should be followed up. And the TB coordinators have been reporting transport problems, which I think would be solved very soon, because now we have been able to purchase some vehicles for TB coordinators by the Global Fund grant. And there's high mobility of clients who do not inform their health facilities where they are going, and therefore we end up losing them. Some of them even give health workers wrong addresses, because there are situations where people have been followed up only to find that they are not even known to the addresses which they give to the health workers.
We also have challenges of recording and reporting problems, incomplete clients' records. Sometimes clients are registered and are given the first or second doses or supplies, then they just disappear. You don't know what happened. Nobody bothers to know where they are. We have lack of timely reporting. And also, like I said, if you look into the registers, paper-based registers, as we do supervisory visits, there are a good number of clients who have been registered in the program and have completed 6 months treatment, and it's well documented, but then people have failed to write, to close them, to write their outcomes that indeed they have completed so that it can be captured into the database. Personnel, there's high turnover of district health workers, including TB coordinators, because the current TB coordinators that we have are directly from training institutions, that's from schools, and therefore they don't have some overtime allowance like their colleagues in hospitals, and therefore they tend to rush back to the hospitals where they could get this 30% overtime allowance. And we have noted also that there's weak supervision, especially from the district level, and these are the issues that need to be re-emphasized. We are still continue to train and retrain, and our main focus now is on training institutions like the university and health training institutions, so that when they complete, at least they already know what IPT is all about. Planned interventions. We have a lot of backlog of data in the district. So we need to update this record, to enter these records into the database, and also update some unupdated records that need to be closed. Continue with intensive supervisory visits, because we have realized that with more frequent supervisory visits, now health workers are changing their attitude towards recording. Continue training of untrained healthcare workers, and we intend to evaluate the program. I know that we have been waiting for the results of the evaluation, and it has taken just too long, but this is because of some of the problems like the records. I mean, if we don't have records, where do we get data to evaluate the program? And therefore, right now we are very busy running around the district so that we can correct that anomaly. And therefore, we are planning to evaluate the program possibly the second quarter of 2008. Thank you very much. Ke a leboga.
Okay, so I think this afternoon we have been provided with two good presentations on the topic of IPT in the light of TB-HIV. May I invite our two speakers, please, to join us here for some questions from the floor. So the floor is now open for clarifications or questions to our two speakers on this topic of IPT therapy. Yes, please, ma'am.
Thank you. My name is Mayanja Chiza from Kampala, Uganda, where TB is a common cause of morbidity and mortality among people with HIV. Now, we have had a problem of implementing IPT among people living with HIV. And the main reasons given by physicians are, one, the difficulty of excluding active TB among people before they can be given IPT, especially extrapulmonary TB. The second main concern is issues of adherence and the risk of INH and resistance in people who are incubating TB. In fact, some physicians suggest that probably we should give IPT only to people with high CD4 count, and those with low CD4 count give IPT when we give them ARVs. That way, if they're on ARVs and IPT, they are closely followed up. So if they get active TB, it's more likely to be picked up, as opposed to people who are fairly healthy and they are given treatment, they don't complete it, and they are more likely to miss having the diagnosis of active TB made because of poor follow-up. So those are some of the issues we have had. The second point that has come up, that probably we should consider more people who are on ARVs to give IPT so that we manage the TB iris that they might get and concentrate less on those who have not yet started ARVs. They are less likely to comply. Thank you.
Okay, so I think those were just points to consider as far as our speakers are concerned. Would you like to have any response?
I don't know. I think it's quite clear. But, I mean, the issue of resistance, you would expect resistance where there has been poor implementation, like maybe poor screening of the clients for IPT. Because we health workers, we have our way of doing things. Some do what is called staccato, where they don't do a thorough examination like expected. And in such cases, of course, they might. But I think if it's well implemented, protocols followed, and if you suspect that this person has got active TB, they should be thoroughly investigated for TB before being put on IPT. I don't think there can be any resistance.
Okay, so very well said. May we have the next question? And I think due to limitations in time, we can probably entertain one more question. Yes, sir.
Dr. Calver, mining industry in South Africa. One of the things that worries me about the two presentations is that neither of the speakers actually alluded to how tuberculosis was excluded. Certainly a thorough physical examination is part of it, but it's not going to exclude active TB very well. Then, of course, you've got the idiosyncratic situation in HIV where they have porcine bacillary disease. So the value of doing sputum is questioned in excluding active TB prior to the institution of IPT therapy. That's the one comment. Perhaps the speakers would like to allude how they did exclude active TB in their protocols. The other comment is that in analysis of an MDR cohort in our situation, only 6 out of 140 patients had had previous IPT. All 6 of those patients developed MDR-TB within 1 year of incomplete treatment with IPT. 2 months or less, those 6 patients had. So I'm concerned about Botswana's figures of high dropout rates from their IPT, that may well be fueling the MDR epidemic.
So may we request a response, please?
We do have a screening algorithm that I showed previously that we use to screen our clients for IPT. Actually, our implementation was based on the results of the pilot that was conducted in 2001, where among over 500 participants who had chest x-rays were found, only one out of them was found to be having active TB. And that is why we don't even do chest x-ray. We go for chest x-ray when we suspect TB and we do sputum microscopy, then if it's negative, we can go further and investigate using the chest x-ray. So far, we do that, including physical examination and subjective information from the patient. So that is the policy as of now. But we are conducting a clinical trial together with CDC, a 3-year clinical trial where we are comparing the efficacy of IPT, 6 months IPT versus the 36 month's IPT. And then I think if there's need or need for change of policy, then it would be based on that trial.
Perhaps yes. From the Brazil.
Yes. Our algorithm to exclude TB is very similar. We, of course, use the clinical examination, the sputum smear, and the X-ray. And in our cohort, in our patients, the most important cause to have TB was actually having TB, previous TB, without finishing the treatment properly. So I think that our focus has been on getting TB patients to finish their treatment properly, excluding TB, which in our view also gives the opportunity to the HIV program to find cases of TB, because if you're implementing IPT, you are actively examining patients to do the TB diagnostic, so I think this is also important. And so far, from what the literature has shown and in our experience, we haven't observed any major adverse events or the surgement of any resistant case of TB after the IPT. Of course, we still don't have a larger follow-up, but we will follow these patients, and I hope we can report on that.
Okay, I think may we call now for the very last question, and may I call on the gentleman on this right. Okay.
Thank you for two wonderful presentations. Gabby from IHV Nigeria. My two questions are, one, for the Botswana example, is that the IPT program, is it being run as a separate program? Because I was a bit concerned that IPT feeding into TB program and HIV program and issues of collaboration and sustainability. My second question is the algorithm for ruling out active TB. One, I was happy to hear that it's like doctors are the biggest barriers to implementing IPT. It seems almost all across. And in Nigeria, the pilot we're doing into widespread implementation of IPT includes, apart from clinical screening, chest X-ray, and for those that have symptoms of cough, including culture. But despite all these things, still there's a very there's a big apathy from the doctor's ends with regards starting people that are eligible within the national criteria on starting them on IPT. And I'm really at least comforted to hear that it's applied elsewhere. Thank you.
Yes. Okay. The IPT program, like I said, in Botswana is based, embedded within the Botswana National TB program. I think it can also be put under the ARV program, but in our situation it's within the TB program. And we do have we do monitor our clients, even though we are within the TB program, we work as a team towards monitoring all these clients. It's only that we have so many initiatives within the TB program. And so far, we have this collaboration between CDC and Ministry of Health, which we know at some point will not be sustained. But our government is very committed to take over where CDC ends, and I think CDC is winning us gradually towards that. And the screening algorithm, like I said, our implementation is based on that, but immediately you suspect that this person might be having active TB, they have to be thoroughly investigated and even referred to the a medical officer for further assessment. We are not supposed to include anybody or enroll anybody who is a suspect of TB into the program. It's only that sometimes when there are protocols, not everybody would abide by those protocols, and as such you end up with problems here and there. But if it was implemented accordingly, as stated or as expected, I think there would be less problems.
I guess due to limitation in time, we just perhaps request the other questions to have a personal discussion with the speakers.
Yes, and the other problem that we have had is that lack of designated TB coordinators. People were very carefree in the way they implemented the program and monitored their clients. But now since we have designated TB coordinators, we do have control over them, we do monitor them, we do call them to table more frequently, and we can see a big difference from the year back. We can see a big difference in the uptake, the monitoring, and even the outcomes of the program.
Okay, so thank you very much for our two speakers. Perhaps you can give them a round of applause. And just a reminder before we go for coffee, it is advised that you bring all your things before going out, and they suggested that no bags should be left in the auditorium while people are on coffee break. So we'll be resuming our session around 3:30, and my co-chair will now be chairing that session. Thank you.
I'm looking at your watch.